Starting Block with Taimoor Nabili, where business meets blockchain on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome back to The Starting Block, a series of interviews about the promise and peril of blockchain technology. I'm Taimoor Nabili, and I'm talking today to Greg Unsworth of PW Singapore. He's the head of digital business and risk assurance. Now, a recent global survey by PwC found that some 80% of business leaders are taking at least some degree of interest in blockchain, with many of them well advanced in exploring how they can incorporate the technology into their business. And Greg, I want to consider which industries are taking this most seriously.
Up until now, all the focus has been on fintech. Obviously, here in Singapore, we've had the whole Project Ubin experiment that, by all accounts, went very well, and they've seen some considerable value in it. So financial technology is obviously high on there. But give me your sense of what the most compelling use cases are in blockchain.
Yeah, so if you start with financial services, you see the dynamic of established banking organizations looking at developing blockchain solutions. Some of this is a bit of a defensive measure as well. They're fearful of competitors coming in. We see small fintechs innovating quite a lot. So financial services, it's very clear that there's progress being made. There's pilots, there's experiments, there's actually functioning models. A couple of the other examples I see, I do think for things like government services, there will be quite a lot of applicability for the use of blockchain. Once again, the government needs to be able to develop their own mechanisms and systems to have trust in how blockchain can work, but can be very effective for transactions.
Yeah, I mean, give me a particular idea of where in the government system this might fit in.
Well, I think if you look at submission of, if you look at even just the amount of forms and lodgements, applications, certifications in the government industry, there's no reason why that can't be managed through smart contract systems on blockchain technology.
Okay, so digitizing documents, cutting away the intermediary process of notarization and verification and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Speed, efficiency, effectiveness, and obviously trust, as that trust builds up over time as well. So I think governments are a really important one. The other one I would say is healthcare. We're seeing some really interesting innovations take place. In fact, we're working with a number of organizations at the moment, and there's also a nice little tie-up back to the financial services industry. So let me just give you one example. We're seeing some examples where organizations in the medical industry, as they're treating patients through a blockchain solution, they're able to lodge their claims directly at the doctors. They get it, the insurance claims satisfied with the right clearance through the doctors directly through blockchain, directly into their bank accounts. That's an example of the sort of solution that can provide a better service to patients and a lot of confidence because it's real-time settlement of medical issues and health claims as well.
Which would be ideal, obviously, because the delays in these things are extraordinary, and you have to wonder why it's going to take something like blockchain to unclog that system. But that's a different story. But what about the user experience? Let's look at financial services for a second. If a bank decides that they're going to adopt blockchain, where would it do so? Would it make a difference to me as a consumer? Would I still be going to my ATM to withdraw cash, or would everything be on plastic? Where exactly would the consumer have to adjust their behavior?
I think from a consumer point of view, I think the banks would be very keen to assume to ensure that there isn't a major change in the user experience at the moment. I think what they're looking at more is the transactional elements that happen behind the scenes, how they settle funds into bank, into organization. And the focus at the moment tends to be a little bit more around the back office when you look at the established banks. Alternatively, when you look at the startup community, they're looking a little bit more at the consumer experience. So they're trying to find ways that consumers, through their mobile devices, through blockchain transactions, cutting out intermediaries, can get fast access to financial services. You see examples through peer-to-peer lending, for example. At the moment, and if you look in Singapore, the MAS has been quite progressive to enable sandboxes below a certain amount to allow some of these experimentation to take place. And we'll see some successful, we'll see some fail as well. It'll be a moving feast of innovation, and some will translate into really good services.
You're listening to The Starting Block on Money FM 89.3. I'm Taimoor Nabili, talking to Greg Unsworth of PwC about how businesses are adapting to, or not in some cases, new blockchain technology. Now, this tech is still very young and complicated, but one issue that is important to know about is the difference between what's known as permissioned and permissionless blockchains.
This is one area where a lot of confusion arises, because Bitcoin is famously open source. One can go and look at the data, and it's open to everybody. But for corporations, the idea of having all that information out there is still a bit of a leap of faith and trust, isn't it? And they're not going to do that. So the permissioned blockchain is a slightly different beast. Tell us how that works.
Yeah, so we're under a permissioned blockchain. You develop an ecosystem using blockchain technology where there are access points, authorization points that enable a limited number of participants to take part. And in fact, that's where we're going to see a lot of the innovation take place, through corporations and organizations. Smaller groups of communities where there's a common interest in developing joint value propositions through blockchain, working together. And then increasingly those permissioned blockchains, bringing more participants in, but interacting with permissionless ones as well. That's where the scale starts to build up over time. So it's a self-contained group of partners that work together.
And that community of diehard technology enthusiasts who say that the very nature, the essence of blockchain is that it must be open and that it shouldn't be just another tool within the corporate toolbox. We're going to have to get over that, right?
Yeah, we are. And we see dynamics already. I mean, I can see real cases where I'm working with clients at the moment who are having those philosophical debates between those who are looking for more open, more closed systems. I think there's going to be a place for both. And I honestly believe without the option of having closed or permissioned blockchains, innovation will stifle because corporations just won't move ahead.
Let me get philosophical for a second. The whole idea of this movement is that we now have the ability to trust code and computers to do stuff where before, in our human way, our tribal way, we used to place trust in figures of authority. We're now being asked to say, okay, we don't need figures of authority anymore. Our whole social infrastructure is beginning to change. Are we ready for that?
It's a really great question. And I think that's one of the things that will slow down progress until that trust is developed. I think the regulators need to play their part. But to enable that innovation, the regulators also need to be able to let go and enable some of that innovation and trust to be developed within those ecosystems. The question for participants is, will they trust a certain blockchain ecosystem? If they will, and it's a good service, they'll take part. If they don't, they won't. So there's a degree of democracy about whether you take part or not. The key thing for developers is they need to have a mechanism where they can provide that assurance that their data will be protected, that security be maintained, and the right protocols will be there to give confidence to use ecosystems.
The security question is one that comes up a lot. We hear regular stories about hacking events that lead to loss.
Yeah.
What's the answer to that?
Yeah, the hacking one, when you look at it, if you take a blockchain enthusiast, they will tell you the blockchain is incredibly secure, and I think they're right. The question that comes into it is where the blockchain ecosystems interfaces with other systems, other data, other people. And so to me, the security aspect is really important to address around what goes, how that data goes into this blockchain ecosystem, how it comes out, how that data is protected, how it's used. We have specific regulation protecting privacy of data, for example. If the blockchain ecosystem will not protect that, then that's also going to be a difficulty for certain business models as well.
So if you're getting involved, you don't have to worry about the technology per se. You have to worry about the person operating it.
I believe so. Yeah, it's around the governance, the process. How is that ecosystem protected? Provided you're prepared to take the leap that the technology works.
Okay,
and,
so let's
and
say
most do. Yeah.
Let's say there are people listening who think, okay, I'm willing to dabble in this and take a look. What is the procedure whereby one begins to look into this and begins the process of adoption?
Yeah, so if you look at this, and this putting aside the whole dabbling in cryptocurrency and all those other things, but if we're really looking at a business application of blockchain technology, I think the important thing is for all organizations is, you know, we use the wording to look at start small, think big, and scale fast. So if you look at it, where can there be a potential relevant and big impact for the organization? But let's start small, build that confidence. That's step one. Step two is identifying the partners that you're going to work with. Because by definition, a blockchain ecosystem needs to embrace the interaction with others as well. And that's one of the challenges. Until you get scale around ecosystems, it's hard for blockchain to really have that benefit that comes with large numbers using it as well. So scale is quite important. And then the third one is building in that trust, making sure that people are very clear how do you manage the risks of adoption of blockchain technology as well.
So start small, think big, scale fast.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Greg.
All right, pleasure.
In part three of The Starting Block, I'll be talking about how blockchain technology could soon be playing a part in how you choose and pay for your electricity supplier, both at home and in the office. Martin Lim of Electrify.sg will be my guest, so see you next time on The Starting Block.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.